Alan mentioned the words perseverance and endurance. And the New Testament uses those words. But those words can be difficult to hear because they imply the need for self-discipline. They imply that we keep going in spite of the difficulties and challenges that we might meet. But the words also imply to the Christian life the word danger. The danger of not finishing. The danger of giving up. In Hebrews 3 at verse 12 says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." And this is what we hope to accomplish today, to encourage all of us to press on in 2021. Back in 1976, there was a young athlete by the name of Fred Dixon. He was an athlete who entered a decathlon in Montreal. And in this athletic event, in a decathlon, the competitor, of course, takes part in 10 different events. There's track and field events like the 100-meter dash and the long jump and the pole vault. And traditionally, the athlete who wins this is awarded the title of the world's greatest athlete. And Dixon had high hopes when he entered the competition that he would do well and perhaps he would definitely win the title. But things that year didn't go as they had planned. Fred ran the first event, didn't do very well. He ran the next one, did worse, and he completed all the events for the day and he ended up doing very poorly. And as the day ended, he decided that because he had no chance of winning at all, he would quit. That night, alone by himself, he began to think about some things in his life and what he would do in the years to come. And he began to realize that one day he might have a family and he might have children. And his children one day would hear the stories about their father, Fred Dixon, quitting this decathlon. And so going back the next day, he pleaded with the officials to just let him get back into the competition. And he finally convinced them to let him come back into the event, and he finished those final five events. And the next year, Dixon pushed his way up the charts, and he became America's number one decathlete. But if he hadn't have gone back that next day and finished this competition, he would have been given three letters by his name in the record books. DNF. And athletes really don't like that word or that acronym because it stands for did not finish. And what that means is that there's a particular athlete who maybe signs up for a particular competition or a particular race. You pay an entry fee. You get to the starting line with all the participants and the gun goes off and the competition starts. But then for some reason, this athlete never comes across the finish line. And when that runner's number doesn't show up, instead of getting a recorded time or a score, that athlete just has the letters DNF next to their name. Maybe there's a million excuses why an athlete would get the dreaded DNF: leg cramps, pulled muscle, dehydration, blisters on their feet, heat exhaustion, all sorts of things that might cause an athlete to quit. But the reality is, in the record books, there's not going to be an asterisk next to the DNF saying why you didn't finish the competition. You just get DNF. You intended to do something. You set out for a goal. You started well, but somewhere along the way, you dropped out of the race. You dropped out of the competition and you didn't finish. Now, that could be a very embarrassing thing for a person who is an athlete and gets their identity from their athletic feats. But it is infinitely worse for the Christian, for the child of God, who starts the race of discipleship with Jesus Christ, but never finishes. Somewhere along the line comes up with an excuse to quit. And I want to tell you today that for a child of God, you never, ever want DNF. You never want to quit. Finishing what we start is really a major theme in the New Testament. In fact, Jesus even spoke of this often in several ways. He talked about a builder who didn't finish a tower and would become a laughing stock. Or he talked about a king who thought about going to war, but maybe changed his mind when he saw that he would be outnumbered. Or he talked about a man who put his hand to the plow to cultivate a field, but then he turned back and never got the job done. And he also tells the story about a farmer who was scattering some seeds. And while some of those seeds fell on the ground and were productive, others fell short. And you think about that phrase, falling short. Falling short. Those are words that you never want described for your life. Those are words that you never want to describe your Christian race with. You know, in our Christian life, we must be steadfast. We must finish well. And the Apostle Paul, speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, referring to the threat of his imprisonment, when he was preparing to leave them, he said this in Acts chapter 20 at verse 24. He said, "I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus." You see, the Apostle Paul was focused on finishing. And that's why I think the words of Philippians chapter 3 and our theme this year are so vital in our lives today. I want to begin reading in Philippians chapter 3, if you turn your Bible there. Philippians chapter 3, I want to go back to verse 7. Philippians chapter 3, at verse 7, the Apostle Paul writes this. Philippians 3 at verse 7, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. That by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Then in verse 12, he says, "Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And then he says in verse 15, "Let those of us who are mature think this way." You know, these words of the Apostle Paul should motivate us this year to press on. And I just want to point out to you today just a few principles that we will go through quickly that I think throughout the year we will develop even in a deeper way. But I want us to notice just some things that the Apostle Paul mentions here in our theme text to help us press on. And the first thing that I think we see from the Apostle Paul is that pressing on requires a humble evaluation. It requires a humble evaluation. I want us to just think for just a moment where we are in our spiritual journey. Where are we in our spiritual race? How are we running? How are we living? You know, the Apostle Paul writes, "Not as though I have already attained or am already perfected." You see, the Apostle Paul understands that he has not crossed the finish line just yet. He recognizes that there is still work for him to do. He recognizes that he must still mature in his faith, that there are areas for him to grow. And when you think about that, that might surprise us because this is the Apostle Paul. This is the one who has done so much for the gospel, spreading the gospel, starting churches, putting his life on the line in order to share the message of Christ. And when you think about someone who is a devoted follower of Christ, well, surely the Apostle Paul is at the top of that list. But I think we have to be impressed with the fact that Paul was humble in his evaluation of his life. He recognized that he still needed to reach greater heights. He refused to stop reaching. He refused to stop straining. He refused to stop pressing toward the goal. And he lived that way right up until the very end. I think it's important for us to live that way as well. That while we may have had some successes in our Christian life in the past, and while that is a good thing and helps us in our growth and our maturity with the Lord, I think about our successes in our life kind of like the manna that was given to Israel. You can't store them up or they'll go stale. You have to gather fresh manna every day. No matter how much we grow spiritually, we have to understand that there is always room for us to grow. There is always greater heights to reach. And we all need to look at ourselves as we begin this new year and introduce this theme and put it into our minds. We have to ask ourselves the question, am I where I ought to be? Or how or where can I grow more in my faith in Jesus Christ? We cannot be satisfied with where we are. We need to be asking ourselves, am I the person that God has called me to be? You see, this is not about comparing ourselves to others. It's not about looking around and saying, well, I know that this person gave up and I know that I'm doing better than this person and they're not as mature as I am. But I want you to understand that Paul was not comparing himself to anyone else. Paul was not living. When you read the resume, and I'm sure Doy and I will spend some time in chapter 3 this year. But when you read Paul's resume, really what he's driving at here is I am not living my life to impress others. He says, I count it all as rubbish. It's trash. Because what I need to be doing is growing in my relationship with the Lord. And I must compare myself with Christ. And when you compare yourself with Christ, you recognize that you can always reach higher. So while we will not reach perfection, we must have progress. We must have progress in our walk with the Lord and press towards the goal. But the second thing that I want you to see is that we must have a desire to know Christ. We must have a desire to know Christ. And I think it's motivated by our understanding of the desire that Christ had to lay hold of us. And this is something that I want you to see in the text, that the apostle Paul says in verse 12, not that I have made it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I am pressing on to make it my own because already Christ Jesus has made me his own. Christ has done his part. The one who came to seek and save me is the one that I have a desire to live for. That's the prize. That's really the prize and the motivation behind enduring and persevering through everything is the approval of Christ. You know, Paul would tell us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, that there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. Now, he's not talking about a physical crown. While it would be, sure, amazing accomplishment to have a gold medal and to be able to say that you've won a gold medal in the Olympics, we're not running this race to receive something physical. We are running this race for Jesus. And that is the motive. And I think that's what he says in verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, he says, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Here's what Paul is saying. That I am giving my life for Christ because he is the one who called me on the Damascus Road. He is the one who transformed my life. And he's the one whom I am going to live for. And I'll tell you, that is what will help us press on. There's going to be times when people will let us down this year. There's going to be times when circumstances will come into our life. difficulties and hurdles that we will have to face that will squeeze us from all sides. And in the face of these things, we must press on. And I just love how this theme really just ties so well together with our theme from last year, because this is the idea of what we've talked about all year from Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 2. You know, or verse 1, we're running with endurance the race that is set before us. But in verse 2, we're looking to Jesus, the author and finisher, or author and perfecter of our faith. You see, when you have your eyes on Jesus, you can press on through any storm, through any tragedy or any difficulty in life. You can always press on when you look to Jesus. Paul says his determined purpose in life is to know Christ. And this isn't about just, well, I want to know some facts about Christ. Kind of like you might know some things about your favorite athlete or someone that you admire, that you look up to. Well, I know some facts about him. I've never met him, but I know some things about him. That's not what Paul is saying. It's not about knowing things about Christ. He says, I want to know Christ. That is my determined purpose in life. And he says, that is why I press on. Pressing on requires a desire to know Christ. Requires a clear objective. You know, Paul says in verse 13, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. This one purpose. This one goal that I have in the remaining years of my life. I have one thing that I must do. And I'm going to go quickly through this because Doyle is going to talk about this concept tonight. But I think about what David said in Psalm 27 at verse 4. He says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. He says, this one thing that I ask, this one thing that I do, Paul says, and we have to ask ourselves, what is the one thing that is the priority in my life? I think we're going to talk a lot about that this year. And we'll go back to Hebrews chapter 12 and look at that verse of laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us. Well, when it comes to our priorities and focusing on the one thing, there are things in our life that can trip us up. There are things in our life that can weigh us down, that can dull our spiritual appetite, that can really just become detrimental in our walk with God. And there could be some of those things that aren't sinful. It's just that we get our priorities misplaced. And when Paul says this one thing I do, you think about this. Well, what could I do? Well, I could do any number of things. I can fill my schedule, my calendar, and involve myself with a million and one things that can occupy myself and keep me busy for every waking hour. We can involve ourselves in many good things, useful things, and worthwhile things. But what must I do? What must I do? What is the one thing that I must do? I think is to keep the main thing, and that's knowing God. That's walking with him and living for him. But it also requires an eagerness to forget. Pressing on requires an eagerness to forget. You need to keep looking forward, Paul says. You need to focus on the finish. He says in verse 13, forgetting those things that are behind. To forget doesn't mean that you fail to remember them. You just can't recall them. What Paul is saying is that you are no longer influenced by, or you are no longer affected by, things that have happened in the past. Because the reality is sometimes we are weighed down. Sometimes we're crippled or we're tripped up when we still live in the past, and it hinders our ability to press on. I remember reading about, I think they still might still have the tradition, Good Riddance Day in New York City. They bring out all of these shredders or maybe these big shredders, and people show up with bills, unpaid bills. In some articles that I've read, they bring unpaid bills, or they might bring a picture of an ex-boyfriend or an ex-girlfriend that they want to shred, or it could be maybe a medical record or something like that. If they want to take that opportunity to say good riddance, they shred those unpaid bills or that picture of that individual and think that they're just shredding whatever memory they have of unpleasant thoughts or whatever illness that they're dealing with. They just want to get rid of it. Well, I think that's maybe a nice sentiment. But you know, the one thing about unpaid bills is they keep coming. Or maybe the hurt of a relationship, you might shred a picture, but the reality is the things that have happened in that relationship doesn't just go away. There's hurts and regrets. But you know, the good thing about following Christ, the good thing about knowing Christ, is that we can really put these things behind us. We can put the past behind us. I'll tell you, as we begin this new year, and in the challenging year that we had in 2020, it could be that we need to make the decision today that we need to forget some things that happened in the past. We need to forget some things that happened in 2020. We might need to put behind us and not be influenced or affected by maybe things that were said, things that were done, disagreements that you've had. It could be that you need to decide today that I'm going to press on. I'm going to put those things in the past. I'm not going to be influenced or affected by that any longer. And I'm going to press on, and I'm going to be about the business of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Jesus said, I mentioned this earlier, Luke 9 at verse 62, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So what is it that you need to forget? What is it that you no longer need to be influenced by? We have the ability through Christ to put that behind us and to press on. But then finally, pressing on requires what I call a heavenly ambition. Pressing on requires this desire to press forward to the goal. That's what he says in our theme text in verse 13. I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I love this picture of this athlete. Paul is, I think, picturing this exertion of an athlete who is just giving it his all. We might say leaving it all out on the field. They're pressing on. To press on is the idea of to agonize. In that word points to the idea of maybe of a runner who is just stretching themselves to get to the finish line, to cross the line. They're exerting every ounce of energy that they can muster up in their bodies. And at that point in time, they've given it their all. They're close to the finish line, and pain is just filling their body up. And your lungs are on fire, but you can see the finish line ahead. You can see that you're almost there. And so you're not focused on how bad your legs are hurting. Yeah, they hurt, but I'm going to finish. I'm going to complete this race. And that's what Paul is saying. I have some bruises. I have marks on my body because of my faith in Jesus Christ. I've faced, and says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, all those things that he faced, that he had to deal with because of his faith in Christ. Despite that, Paul had a heavenly ambition, and he could see the finish line, and he would press on. And that's why I think he says back in that verse that we looked at the beginning, in Acts 20 at verse 4, that I may finish my race with joy. And I might have mentioned this last year around this time. Think about walking with Christ, or using the metaphor of running a race. It's one thing to run the race. It's one thing to finish the race. But I love how Paul says, I want to finish my race with joy. The joy of knowing that I've done it all with the right motive, focused on the right one, which is Christ Jesus, my Lord. So no matter what you faced last year, no matter what you're facing now, no matter what we might face this year, let's focus our eyes on Jesus and let's press on towards the goal. If we can help you begin that race this morning, we want to give you that opportunity. If you need to become a Christian, if you need to have your sins washed away by the blood of Christ, you have that opportunity to do that this morning. But let's continue to press on. And as Clint's going to lead us in this song, and I think it's a great song for us to sing this morning that goes so well with our theme, we're going to press on to higher ground. And let's all have that ambition this year. Think about these things as we stand and sing.